You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. Who will lie bleeding after this review? I suspect it's me.
Oh, and you're giving me shit about Cable Guy and like this
Cable Guy.
This bullshit.
I don't know how that. All right, so let me get out of the way. For reasons that are unknown, we got into a Jim Carrey discussion right before this, and there is no connection to the Jim Carrey movies and the movie Love
there,
Lies.
There is.
Please.
Oh?
Six degrees of separation, go.
Yeah. Because Ed Harris was in The Truman Show, and he's also in this.
Okay.
He's amazing.
You win.
He's amazing in
Final
this.
Thoughts, go.
I can't believe you found one.
Love it. Love it.
Love Lies Bleeding is the latest A24 film, and I will say that I know that A24 is a cult in and of itself, and I can be very cynical about any said cult, especially when it comes to art, and I think that not everything they do is wonderful, but they have indeed put out a lot of really wonderful surprise films, and I have some news for you folks. Hey, Love Lies Bleeding is one of those ones that you're going to be like, yes, it's in the, join the cult.
Surprise!
Join the cult! You're ready! It's here! It's good! Another studio would definitely not have put this film out in a wide release.
I don't know why.
And for you guys who love love neo-noir, or I feel like in a subtle way, but still specifically neon noir, which I feel like this film qualifies as.
Yeah.
You're gonna be all in for this.
There's all the noirs in this one.
Yeah.
And it really is. It's funny. If you listen to You Must Remember This, the one of my favorite movie podcasts, the person who curates that just did a series on erotic thrillers, which were a hot ticket item for most of the 90s.
Yeah.
And they've kind of, you know, died down.
Yeah.
But within 5 minutes of this, I was just like, oh, we're getting an erotic thriller. Haven't seen one of these in a while.
Yeah. And it of course is gonna do stuff right off the bat that's gonna piss off everybody who's right wing, because it's a lesbian love story.
Well, there's like Kristen Stewart, god damn it.
And not too like traditional like femme lesbians. You've got Kristen Stewart, who has made a point of being clear about being as dykey as possible here with her Rolling Stone like portfolio of her being like, look at my mullet haircut.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like everything she's doing, going like, no, this is not a heterosexual love story. And I am not playing heterosexual, which I'm like, good for you. But that's great. That's all just promotion. How's the actual movie? And then you've got Katie O'Brien, who is actually known mainly for like superhero and action stuff, not playing lead roles, but side roles. And she's been in a lot of Star Wars stuff. But this very bulky female bodybuilder.
There's Robert Mapplethorpe, the famous photographer.
Is it Mapplethorpe?
It's Mapplethorpe, yeah.
I
think you're right. It's Mapplethorpe.
I think it's Mapplethorpe.
Take your pronunciation you like best and put it in your head. Anyway.
Mapplethorpe.
Guy. Mipply Man.
Smoking.
He did
best his piece, Kristen Yarine.
One of his most famous, you know.
So stupid.
You just lost me.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Doc, uh-oh.
There we go.
See, it was too funny, and Bo.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You guys didn't lean into that and fuck everything up. He did a series on a female bodybuilder named, I believe, Lisa Lyon, and his black and white pictures of her are very, very famous. Within the photography world, and she is like kind of a dead ringer as far as that look. You know, with like this, you know, she's in many scenes in the movie, she's wearing like a black posing outfit, and she's just cut as fuck. Not like necessarily bulky, although she is big. She's big and intimidating.
Yeah.
But like she's just got these really clean muscular lines that you don't find outside of like a superhero movie these days.
She's for lack of a better comparison, and I hate to even use it, a sort of a more streamlined Gina Carano physique.
Yeah.
Still very muscular, but doesn't feel quite as bulky.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So Kristen Stewart plays Lou. She is a gym manager. She is not really into people. And she works at
Daisy a chance, okay?
A dingy, crappy gym. And literally. Then Katie O'Brien, Jackie, shows up and working out in the gym, and there's immediate sort of like, ooh, making eyes at each other type of thing there. And they kind of hit it off. And
with the best meet cute ever.
Literally, it's pretty. It's
pretty cute.
Hey.
And at this point, I'm handing it over to Bo because he's going to take over at some point anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, well, no, this is what you do every time. Okay. So, like, yeah. Oh, by the way, that's Bo.
Sarah Jane.
Right.
I'm Chris.
That
wasn't meant as a criticism. It's just usually I get like 10 seconds.
It wasn't meant as a criticism, but it was a left-handed compliment.
It's an invitation.
Decidedly a left-handed compliment.
No, so she, the two of them meet and they fall in love and they live happily ever after. And that's the movie.
Oh, it was so
How do you
sweet.
Like that, asshole? Well, was that good for you? Huh?
Until there's only enough room left on the door for one of them.
Yes, and of course, they you know, find each other, meet each other, and her, Katie O'Brien's character, her main, who was Jacqueline, her main impetus she wants to get to this bodybuilding competition in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And so Kristen basically is like, oh, well, you know, why don't you work out in the gym that I manage for free? And, you know, maybe juice up on the anabolic steroids that are all the rage in the 80s, which is when this takes place. And, you know, I'll help you win that.
Yeah. And she's even like, they're free. It's not a problem, even though there's pointedly a scene where she's paying for them for some
Right.
So absolutely.
Yeah. While at the same time, Kristen Stewart, she has a family, Jenna Malone, which is, she's always good.
Yeah.
I love her to pieces.
She's amazing.
She's always amazing. And she's in this as Kristen Stewart's sister, Beth, I think her name is. And
she's married to Dave Franco.
Dave Franco.
Who's a real
piece of shit.
Yeah, go figure. Dave Franco really leaning out of his wheelhouse here. Total piece of crap.
Yeah, he is so good.
But I will say he puts in a performance in this movie that will remind you of Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, he's a manager at a local shooting range, which is run by Kristen Stewart's father and Jenna Malone's father, Ed Harris, who is like the moment you see him,
best
you're
hair
like,
in Hollywood. Say right
the
now,
the moment you see him, you're just like you're gonna laugh because like,
the audience did.
Yeah,
we did.
It's great.
Oh yeah,
you can't not because he's got like super long hair, but with Ed Harris bald.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. He literally has the riffraff haircut.
Yeah, yes. He does.
That's right.
And, you know, it's just like picture a riffraff, and then like bake him in the Arizona sun for like 23 years.
I was telling,
and you'll have the Ed Harris character. Yeah.
I was telling Chris afterwards, like he has the best cartoonish like frown I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he is. Like, he's painted the way that he frowns.
Yes, and I don't think there's a single scene in this movie where he smiles.
No.
But it's a very small town. Like, one of the first scenes in the movie is Jackie, like, who's having sex with Dave Franco's character, JJ, and it's just to get a job. She's traveling through town. She wants to get the money to get to this thing. It's not
She's having survival sex with this guy. And, exactly. Like, the back lot of a bar just because she thinks that it may
don't we all have survival sex?
Well, yes, but it is a thing that women have to do sometimes.
That's what Wright far always too often tells me it's here for.
And yes, so she is working there. Kristen Stewart finds out, and that's when mayhem starts ensuing. This is one of the great that setup really doesn't take that long, and from that moment, once Kristen Stewart kind of reveals that that's my dad you're working for and he's a real piece of shit, you do not expect anything else that is coming in this
right.
show. Yeah. And it's just like, oh my God. And you're just, will probably be on your seat for the rest of the movie. Indeed, if not that, definitely for the last 30 minutes where you're just like, what the fuck is going to happen?
Be clear, he is a crime lord and they play him down for the first act and a half. Like, he's there. He's just a dad that she doesn't get along with. Menacing, but not to the point of being a straight up villain. Like, if there's a point, you're like, I could see them reuniting and everything being okay.
I own a gun range and eat bugs weird. not I run this, fucking, shithouse town in Arizona.
Well, she's not exactly like a charmer herself, no. to be fair. Like,
she's full of regret and like, Kristen Stewart's character in this is so interesting and oddly fun to watch.
She is entirely the protagonist of this film.
Yeah.
The one who most, everybody's good in it, but she carries this with her astonishing performance. And I mean, I know people like to be critical of her because she was in Twilight, just like Robert Pattinson, but this, for me, is the best work she's done.
It seems like people have finally gotten past that, but I think there are still people that are just like, she's not that character. She's not Bella Swan, but that doesn't mean she's a great actress. Kristen Stewart is a great actress, and she has been for quite a while now.
Yeah,
and you should owe it to yourself as a film fan to check out some of her stuff. But if you're looking for a starting point, we got one for you.
The screen just loves her. Yeah. I mean, anytime she's on there, it's just Kristen. If you're listening, I love you.
You're right, though. She is magical. You can't take your eyes off her in this.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as Katie O'Brien
she's like, stunning.
She's stunning in this, but it is Stewart who commands the camera in every scene that she's here.
All of her like little acting choices that she's making, mainly with her face. It shows again. Like,
I felt like her pinky finger was where the strongest part was.
Hey, speaking of pinky fingers, why don't you take yours?
But it was so interesting to watch her because like it felt like how she was elevating it even further with her acting, because she is a great actress.
Yes.
She's so good. I don't know how to describe it like in this movie, but she's incredible
performance. It's a jaw dropping, knock you off your feet performance.
And this whole movie is just such a surprise. All of us, when we came out, we were just like not expecting that. And I think maybe of all of us, I was kind of like, I really think this is gonna, be a great vehicle for Stewart and maybe the other people in it. And it kind of speaks that they've kind of backed away in the trailers and promotional materials, the fact that, it's a Ed fucking Harris.
Oh, sure.
And Dave Franco, who is no slouch and certainly has, cachet to begin.
Everybody's delivering as good as you could imagine them delivering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's the one thing I really wanted to shout out is Rose Glass, the writer and director. She is so good. I love Saint Maud, and for her to do this, and man, she just found her like visual voice or just eye.
It's
like,
really got this great best eye. Like, they use a lot of that yellow green
and red
90s acting. There's a lot of red. The lighting and sound are just
sound design.
The sound design's incredible. It will at points remind you of other things. Like Red Rock Rest. You mentioned, which certainly for there, especially the red light driving sequence.
The red light and the setting of the Southwest, because this is this more or less. I don't think they come out and say it, but it's Arizona.
No,
it's New Mexico.
It's Albuquerque.
Oh, it's Albuquerque. Okay, well, there we are.
It's Fredericksburg, Virginia.
It is Albuquerque. As someone who lived in New Mexico for like 10 years in the south in Alamogordo, when I was watching this, I'm like, oh my God. I lived in a small town. Albuquerque's not small, but I mean, they seem to be living kind of in the outskirts.
Yeah.
And it is like that. I mean, there are people that are like Ed Harris, and they walk around with their guns on. You just like, no,
Yeah, what's actually happening here?
Yeah, yeah. That's why we got out. You know, I didn't want my son to grow up, you know, not
and was become like, Walter White.
Exactly. Or have a child when he was 16.
He's so creepy, and they don't. It's a weird example of a film like this where the antagonist, who has seems like another director would have made him so much over the top and so big, and they felt like they didn't need to because they had Ed Harris.
They had enough like weird stuff with him enough to where like, and it was downplayed until it wasn't when there's a moment with, let's say, Bugs. And, and it's also played for last, but like how good of an actor he is.
Yeah. The there's obvious, like, oh my God. Yeah. The obvious acting choice here is to do Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
You know, because was like written for Dennis Hopper, even though he's been dead for you know, 10 to 12 years, however long it's been. But
weirdly,
yeah,
he said yes, and then he turned it down. So,
well, Harris, like, you know, it's Ed Harris, and that guy is just amazing, and he knows how to make like the unusual choice of downplaying the character and still make him, like, when he needs to be terrifying, he's terrifying.
There was a point where he walks into a room and he sees a bird in a cage, and you know, so he's like this, you know, really awful guy, and he goes to the bird. He's like, "Man, when was the last time somebody has seen to you?" And so he goes and get him water, and I don't know if he tried to feed him or whatever.
Presumably,
but I don't even know, was that in the script or did he just like go over there and decide? It felt to do like that?
I was
convinced that he was going to find something in the birdseed tray, but
or do like in Dumb and Dumber with Jim Carrey, when he just snaps the bird's neck, like in Dumb and Dumber.
That's what you thought was going to happen.
Wrap this well, off. He has studied Jim Carrey since The Cable Guy.
No, I think we're all on the same page of going, this was kind of next level for noir in some ways. Like, we're watching the birth of a major new talent with this director.
Oh, yeah.
It really is her second film. And I saw the first film, but it was also at Fantastic Fest when I was really tired. And also it had religious themes, which is often a hot button issue for me personally. And I did not like it when I saw it. But after seeing this, I'm going to go back and rewatch it and give it a second chance, because this is an astonishing work, a major work of art in noir that I think people are going to be talking about for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's not, I don't do my review first. So, Bo. Okay. Final thoughts.
I think this is great. It ticks off so many of my boxes. Anybody who's been listening to me doing this shit knows that I love noir of any kind. Love a tight thriller. Love a little erotica there if you want to throw that in. And all of these actors are just, yeah, like watching them make their choices is as an actor is incredible. I'm all over this and a bag of chips. I'm going to give it 9.5 deeply toxic, quote unquote, motivational gym posters.
Sarah.
Well, as we were talking afterwards, after the movie, I had said that I didn't really like Kristen Stewart for a while there, just because of the Twilight thing, because I, you know, whatever.
We get it.
Yeah, but
a lot of us felt that.
Yeah, yeah. But then I watched, I mean, I did like her in Panic Room, actually. But
I like the Twilight movies.
You like the Cable Guy.
So I, you know, I watched The Runaways and I'm like, oh, wow, she's really great. And so then I watched Personal Shopper and I'm like, all right, now I love her. But this, you know, now I really love her. And I think she's great. And just a shout out to both Kristen Stewart and Katie O'Brien for not fixing their teeth.
Yeah.
You know, Kristen Stewart just has a tiny little overbite, which I love those. But Katie O'Brien just has crooked teeth. But now if you know, we're watching 1883 or one of those Kevin Costner, or he's not. Yes. But anyway, one of those shows.
Endless Yellowstone knockoffs.
Yes, the Taylor Sheridan show.
Yellowstone.
There's a girl in there that is like the main girl. And I heard that he was like, he saw her and was like, I'm going to write this whole series about her. But she looks like she knows what an iPhone is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's got this fake blonde hair and her teeth are perfect. And it's just like, and Tim McGraw's in it. His teeth are perfect. Is Faith Hill, her teeth are perfect. And I'm just like,
it needs a better casting director.
Come on. Yeah.
Or just makeup.
Yeah. Why? Anyway. So shout out to them. But I did really love this. I think there's that faction of, I don't know, is it Gen Z, whatever they are, that are like anti-sex. They're not going to like this movie.
Yeah. And they should shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Well, like, Henry Cavill is not going to like this
Thankfully,
movie.
I think most of them are made up by the media. So yeah. Don't maybe.
Yeah. When I see people with that angle on like Poor Things, for instance, I'm like, you're telling me you think this movie is lesser because it has sex scenes when the whole point
that's
is
a
about
thing?
That?
That was a thing?
Oh, yeah, yes. That was a thing.
Well, that was like five people on Twitter talking about it.
Well,
fucking
we took
psychos.
Our 13-year-old to see that, and he became a man during that. So, you know?
He's going to like redheads.
Now that he has seen that, he can see pretty much... I mean, I'm not going to let him watch straight up porn that I know of, but he can watch anything.
You have no control.
Exactly. But
as a guy, I can tell you, you have no control.
No, and that's fine. Yeah. But so whatever. What were we talking about? Sex? Anyway, it was really, they were.
Survival sex.
These women were like super hot. I got to say that.
Yeah.
So.
In a not atypical way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was earned by their characters.
Yeah. Yes. I don't think it was gratuitous. I like the way that what they were doing because it wasn't the usual sex scene. Anyway, I thought it was beautiful and hot and sexy. And so I'm just going to wrap this up. I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 bottles of oil that you put on your muscles to
there you
flex.
Go. I don't even know what kind of oil. Is it olive oil?
It's like baby oil.
Olive oil?
I use that for everything, so I don't know.
They use a lot of things.
I think lube. I just learned something about Chris.
I buy the
Chris.
Gallon bottles, and I'm just like, it's oil.
It's extra virgin.
Lube. Right?
I loved this movie. I love noir, and I love neo-noir, neon-noir, noir-noir. And whatever the noirs are, but I've
this is noir,
noir,
noir.
I have always loved Kristen Stewart. I mean, granted, I knew she was always better. Like, I think what's funny when you think about the Twilight series, like we all know those movies are dog shit. I don't think the people, except for Taylor Lautner, are bad in the movie.
Except
like,
for Taylor Lautner.
Yeah, there are so bad. Many people.
I mean, Michael Sheen was
Michael
in that
Sheen
fucking
is in that fucking movie. Like, there's so many other people in that movie.
Anna
like,
Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick, for fuck's sake. And like some of the directors, like David Slade, he did one. Anyway, I've always thought, like from the get-go, when I saw Panic Room, like, wow, who is that? And I love her, and Katie O'Brien is just a force to be reckoned with in this movie, and their performances and what ends up happening for how, I love like how seemingly like Coen Brothers-esque stories where there's regular people and then the situation becomes super heightened. And then in this case, which I love about Rose Glass and thinking about with St. Maud, is that she incorporates this like kind of fantastical elements
magical,
here and there.
Magical reality.
Yeah, exactly. And so it definitely towards the end, but there's like moments throughout the film where she shows that makes this movie from great to like fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And just the pacing of it and the editing is so sharp. I loved it front to back and the music is so good, which is why I'm going to give it 10 out of 10.
Wow.
High possibility I'm going to get this soundtrack on vinyl immediately.
It's a great soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a fucking great soundtrack.
One thing we haven't even discussed here, which is a major part of this film is, all right, so when I wrote they give us this little credit cards, what to write. And I basically said it's like Bound times Blood Simple plus David Cronenberg ? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there is a significant amount of body horror in this film, just not used the way that you usually see body horror.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. There are some hallucination sequences here because like a lot of it has to do with like overuse of steroids. Like I think the core of this film, like the soul of this film, has to deal with addiction. Whether it's addiction to steroids or cigarettes, which is a big thing, or to power.
Or addicted to love.
Or love.
Or meth.
To meth. A lot of that is running through all of this. And specifically the steroids thing has some really scary and impressive hallucination scenes that have to do with body horror stuff that is really fucking cool and inventive in a way we haven't seen it done before.
And simple-ish, too.
Yeah.
And it's still so effective.
Yeah, like, it's not like the director does not want to make it the focus.
No.
But she uses it just in the right way, where it's like, okay, this works. There's so much stuff in this where it's like, this was a huge swing, and it easily could have fucked up the entire film by the swing, and yet it did nothing but make it better. There's a moment towards the very end of this. This is a very surreal visual moment that is pure metaphor.
Yeah.
And it's never addressed in any way of not having happened, you know, like, it's up to the audience to understand that this is just metaphor, but it is just like, whoa, that's a really startling choice. And yet it completely works. Even made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. Yeah. Where I was like, oh, that's an incredible choice that you just did there. And I think it wouldn't have worked if the film hadn't toyed with surrealism throughout it here and there. It's not a regular thing. It's just here and there it toys with it, and it toys with the body horror. There's a lot of scenes with Katie O'Brien as she's working out with her muscles sort of suddenly growing and expanding and with cracking gross
and like the sound effects noises. Like
there's like, a lot of and you know, whenever that happens, she gets this increased vascularity her arms.
This film is a really impressive work, and I've never seen anything like it. I'm a big fan of noir, and especially of neo-noir, and I think this is like maybe, I don't know, we may be seeing the beginning of like a new sort of subgenre of noir through this movie. It's really that kind of thing where you're like, never really seen anybody do this with this genre, so I'll be curious to see all the things that are influenced by it that have to come out later, because I suspect, even if this doesn't become a big hit in theaters, which it certainly deserves to be.
Oh, my God,
But, you know, I mean, it's a film about two, like, very hardcore lesbians and a murder affair.
Luckily, there's nothing else out right now.
Yeah,
that
yeah, it's not the best timing, to be fair. Coming out right after Dune. But, this is going to have so many people who are deeply influenced by it, I suspect.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, I really love this. I'm going to give it 9.5 out of 10 veins bursting out of my forehead, because that's the only place veins ever burst out on me.
Oh, wow. You got to have more survival sex. No,
it's just like pre-stroke, I say.
Pre-stroke. Hey, yo.